2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280, The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Hey, are you into a major giveaway? Ended in success for one person who was qualified thanks to Uinta's awesome giveaway they've been doing with these majors. And unfortunately, it wasn't one of our listeners. But Justin Thomas, represented by Jake and Ben, and their listener, Jared Tarrin, gets the W and gets the same putter, or the same brand of putter, at least, as Justin Thomas. Now, I looked it up, and I couldn't actually what's interesting is Golf Digest does this. We'll get to Coach Chiesa just a second, because I just looked this up. And said, here are all the things he used in his bag. Because as soon as you win, they go, what kind of sandwich is he using? I'm going to use that one, and I'm going to be good. But it looks like... Okay, he switched to a Scotty Cameron by Titleist, Phantom X. So there you go.
The Phantom X.
The Phantom X putter. It's one of those ones that, is to me, I don't like the look of it. I like just the nice, it looks like one of those Star Wars X-Wings or something. All right.
Okay.
Scott, it's that time of the week again, of course, where we get to bring on Coach Gordy Chiesa here with us, courtesy of Divvy, the modern financial platform for business. See how you can spend smarter. GetDivvy.com. That's Divvy with two V's. No, not two Y's. GetDivvy.com. Coach, how's it going today?
Guys, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Are you much of a golfer? Like, do you watch the U.S. or the PGA Championship and go, oh, man, this guy's game is on point? Or has golf never spoken to you?
It's not really spoken. However, my family plays. So I'm a quasi-fan.
Okay.
But I follow it, but I'm not like crazy about it.
Yeah.
Only because of the time demands of our job description. But it's really a great game. It's obviously a highly skilled game, and more importantly, a mental game, just like the playoffs.
Yeah, and I feel like, Coach, you're like dialed up all the time. I feel like you couldn't just relax on the golf course. I mean, I just feel like this could be – it'd be a tough thing to ask you to go out for 4 hours and just play golf, because you're like, I got stuff going on here. So maybe that's a little bit less up your alley. But – we got a winner with this PGA giveaway that they've been doing, and so we're really excited for Justin or for Jared Tarrin, who won the putter.
Well, I'm excited for you also. I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah. Hey, look, Coach. The NBA playoffs took a weird turn where we're now 3-0 in that Western Conference series, that Western Conference final. I thought it was going to be a little bit more of a deal, but is it that the Mavericks have just totally like run out of gas, or is it that the Warriors have found some insane groove that we weren't giving them credit for? Where are we at in that series?
It's more experience. The Warriors are absolutely battle-tested. While the upstart Dallas Mavericks, they're ultra-talented, but it comes to the top of the apex, meaning the final four teams, and this is when you've got to be able to score the ball through physicality. This is the quick numbers. This is why the Warriors are up 3-0. This is just based on this series. The Warriors are shooting 53.1% field goal percentage, 39.3 from threes, and 28.3 assists per game. So what that tells us that they've mastered the partnership of passing, screening, cutting, and defending. And that's why the Mavs are losing. It's not Luka Doncic. It's their secondary players that have struggled in the this type of series. Maxi Kleber, Reggie Bullock go 0 for 15 at a home game, game three. You have no chance of winning.
Doesn't it kind of feel like this is how the way the Warriors are playing? The Jazz kind of had that same style. There was this unselfish, the ball moved. It was that extra pass. It just seemed... It seemed like that chemistry, that cohesiveness, that kind of team ball, team mindset went out the window. Am I crazy on this? Or
no, not at all. You're right on point. So you're describing there, just visualize for all the fans driving right now, listen to 1280, is that they're, the ball's popping, Scott. The ball's moving.
Yeah.
Everybody's cutting. Your velocity movement. And so when you cut in a game and the ball pops, you catch in rhythm, and that's both individually and team-wise, and generally speaking, you shoot better. Now, the Jazz have lost an element of that where we've discussed as many times, you and I and Alex, that the Jazz dramatically over-dribble. And that sounds
right.
Just so trivial, but it's not. And that's why the Jazz have to go back to just old-school fundamentals of movement. And that's both player and ball. The Warriors got it rolling. Let's not forget now, they went to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row, and what derailed them was injuries. The Klay Thompson and the Stephen Curry, that's what set them back. Now they're back in play.
Coach, as we look at the Eastern side of things here, I think that I've been waiting for Boston to be that team to keep ramping up. But Miami is just, they're tough. They get that win at TD Garden, but they're going to be without Tyler Hero. And so this game four tonight, what do you expect in Boston?
In Boston, we're all out effort by the Celts right now. They lost last game 109-103, and that's when basically P.J. Tucker, age 37, who's very, very underrated, he got up into Jason Tatum, their unbelievable young talent. He goes 3 for 14. Now, add to that, Tatum gets 6 turnovers. So in this series right now, in the 3-game series, Jason Tatum has more turnovers than assists. And that tells us again, as a young guy, that playing through physicality, and that's what the players, it's hard to describe until you go through it. And that you've got to be able to do that. With that said, though, the Celts, though, they should be able to knock out the Miami Heat, who should go home then and play a game. Game five should be in Miami right now. Last point is this: in the game the other night, it's hard to do, it's almost impossible to do, but the Heat did it. The Heat generate 19 steals to the Celts 2. You have absolutely no chance of winning. Let's put it to Jazz basketball. If the Jazz, if they go forward as far as in playoff competition, they've got to have more emphasis as far as defensive playmakers. The Jazz regular season were 29th in the NBA in forcing turnovers. In this playoff game we're just talking about, the Heat get 19 steals to win a close game by 6. That's the margin of error.
You know, as I watch this Dallas Mavericks team go in the playoffs, and you have Luka Doncic, who's a young, up-and-coming superstar, and the thing that just kind of makes me disappointed for the Jazz is they didn't get the experience of playing the Phoenix Suns in the second round of the playoffs, and they didn't get the experience of playing in the Western Conference Finals. And so even though it looks like the Mavericks are going to lose this series, they've kind of gotten some seasoning with going deep into the playoffs that you would have to think, and that's really my question, is how much of an impact does that have on teams as they grow and develop to kind of get into some of those deeper playoff runs? And maybe they don't win, but it's almost like they kind of learn how to win through losing.
Well said. That's exactly right, that the pains of losing affect you in the off season in a positive way, where you got exposed your lack of, and fill the blanks in. Hey, our lack of defense, our lack of foot speed, our lack of closing out the three-point line. Hey, I've got to get better on my ball skills. I have to get better as far as driving to the basket and finish through traffic. So it's absolutely a painful learning curve that players go through and teams go through and franchises go through. Because that means what, Scott, in the off season, we have to address the following things about our team. Because remember, it's who you play against. Hey, I think so-and-so is really good, and he probably is, but it's who you play against, and that guy is better. And that's why it's so important to actually, we always talk about in a pro personnel side, let's view our team from outside in versus inside outside. The outside meaning it's who you play against. Can our eighth or ninth man, can he outplay the eighth or ninth man on a playoff-type team? And if he's not, then we've got to either make a trade for a trade, move him on, or fast-track his development because he thinks that we think we have enough talent to be able to play. It's the most unbelievable, fascinating thing as far as evaluating your team and players.
Coach Gordy Chiesa joining us here on Unrivaled as we work through some of these NBA playoffs. Coach, who do you build your team around in 2022, 2023, like position-wise? Are you wanting just that solid five who is an insane defender and is a pretty good scorer? Are you more like a Steph Curry type guy on the outside, like just an insane shooter that we've never seen that type before, or just an insane ball handler who's a facilitator? What do you build your team around in 2022, 2023?
Wings, two threes. So I'm trying to get as much as I can, as many guys that are versatile on the court. They can pass the ball some. They can shoot with range. They can take the ball to the basket. They can play on-ball defense. They have early eyes defensively to get steals. In transition, they come back and block shots as far as a chase-down situation. So I'm going to try to get as many guys as I can that can space the floor but also play inside, outside, outside, inside. It's the most fascinating thing. What makes the Warriors so good is that I call them back screen junkies. The whole team is like moving out the ball, and they're setting random screens, and that frees up the elite shooters for open shots. So last night when Klay Thompson drove middle of the floor and kicked it out to Jordan Poole, who's a 28th pick of the draft. So Scott, gets back to my theory about on June 23rd, people are going to say, well, so-and-so, after the first four, five, six picks, it doesn't matter. They're absolutely, people say that, are delusionary. So I build my team around, as much as I can, wing players that are two-way competitors.
Yeah, that was my question about the draft, and you're trying to acquire these types of players. What's Danny Ainge's, like, MO and maybe strategy? Is it trying to trade for these guys? Is it trying to trade for draft picks? Does it take a monumental shift with the Jazz moving one of the big players in Donovan and Rudy, or even if that's possible? What is the strategy in acquiring these types of players?
It's probably going to be a combination of two out of those three things where you can buy into the draft right now. So as we speak right now today, the Jazz do not have a draft pick.
Right.
Many teams have draft picks, multiple picks. So, for example, you're trying to move with the Thunder, maybe try to buy one of their draft picks. Generally speaking, a first-round draft pick will cost the team that's going to try to purchase it roughly, again, give or take, $3.5 million. Probably. Is it worth it? The answer is yes, if you get the right guy. So that's a different discussion. In the second round, we say the Orlando Magic, they're picking at number 32 and 35. It makes no sense for the Magic to keep both those picks. So again, the Jazz could the Magic, generally speaking, again, for a second round pick, it would cost roughly between $1.5 to $2 million for the privilege to purchase that pick. Now, the best part about it would be July 1st. That's when it's the real season starts. That's free agency, whether signing trade or straight signing people or for trading players, all the above. So the Jazz have to address that by those means. And then there's always the Rudy Donovan Mitchell discussion right now about keeping them, moving them, one or the other. It all depends what happens during the draft and also what happens as far as free agency of what you can get for players. But the most important thing, Scott and Alex, the Jazz cannot stay the same team. They cannot.
Right.
Because the competition is absolutely catching up and surpassing them, and the Jazz have good players. So the Jazz are relatively close, but they need a roster adjustment of, generally speaking, 4 to 6 players to help them get over the hurdle.
So if they move Rudy or Donovan, Is that going to happen then after the draft? Is it going to happen after free agency? When would be the ideal time for that to happen?
Between the draft and free agency. So the week of June something, June 21st, that mm-hmm. week.
Yeah.
All right.
That usually speaking now. That would be it right now. And so it's in Jazz basketball, it's an exciting time. Oh, let's not forget, the Jazz have been to the playoffs now 6 straight years. So they're a good team. Now the question is, can you catch the Dallas Mavericks? There was a Jazz. They've got to find a player that can slow down, again, not stop him because he's too elite, but slow down Luka Doncic because that's who you play against for the next 12 to 14 years. And so you've got to figure out who those guys are and address that accordingly.
Coach, we've got one of your signature lists coming up here. This is about scoring, although I feel like the faster way to your heart would be defense. But, you know, when it comes to the actual point scorers, like, we love a good list. So what do you have for us today?
Well, list today, because Doncic yesterday got 40 points, which is the eighth time in his career he scored 40 points in a playoff game.
Right.
So quickly, this is the list. The most career playoff games by a player scoring 40 or more points. So I cut it off at number 9.
Okay.
So there's 12 names, but it's a top 10 because it's a tie. Did it 9 times in their career. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and James Harden both scored 40 points or more 9 times. The 10th slot, Allen Iverson did it 10 times. Number 9, Hakeem Olajuwon did it 11 times. Number 8, Shaquille O'Neal did it 12 times. Tied for 6th, the late great Kobe Bryant and Wilt Chamberlain scored 40 points or more in a playoff game 13 times. Tied for 4th all time, Kevin Durant and Elgin Baylor did it 14 times.
Wow.
Tied number 3, 40 or more points in a playoff game, he did it 20 times, Jerry West. Number 2, he plays for the Lakers as we speak right now, he did it 28 times, LeBron James. And number 1 on the list of scoring 40 or more points, and I've seen many against the Jazz over the years, including myself on the bench, when Michael Jordan, he scored 38 times 40 or more points in a game. Hey, what about John? What about Carl? Carl did it in a playoff situation. He did it 4 times, including one time he scored 50 points. What about Donovan Mitchell? He did it 4 times also in playoffs, including twice scoring 50 points or more back in the bubble when he got 57 and 51 versus the Nuggets. That's my list today.
Wow.
It's really a good list. It's, by the way, 40 points is a lot of points.
Imagine having, like, I mean, we were talking about guys who had the most games in Jazz history in the playoffs that they've played. And there were, I mean, it was insane when they would get to 38 that they played of full playoff games. Jordan scored 40-plus in 38 games. That's an insane, insane number.
And speaking of scoring, let's try to score on this quick quiz.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, let's do that.
All right
Alex, this is for you.
I'm all for it.
This quiz is to help your self-confidence.
Oh, I hope so.
There's no trickery by Gordon Chiesa. Here's the question, Alex. What is the nickname of the city of Boston?
Oh,
I know that.
Beantown.
Beantown. That's exactly right. All right, Scott.
Yo.
What is the capital city of Illinois?
Springfield.
That is right. It's located in central Illinois. And people don't realize that it's much closer to Springfield than St. Louis than Chicago. All right, Alex. The basketball family of the Currys, meaning Stephen, Seth, and the father, Dell, what college did Dell Curry, a former Jazz player, attend?
He was a Hokie. He was a Virginia Tech guy.
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. Who is the leading scorer in Boston Celtics playoff history? What player?
Bill Russell.
Close. I'll give you a hint.
That's not a bad guess. I mean, we won so many dadgum titles.
Now, scoring now. So, after this, he had unbelievable shot artistry.
It's not Larry Bird, is it?
Correct. Larry Bird.
Number 33.
That was just too obvious.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, this is the obvious quiz.
He scored 3,897 points in the playoffs.
You tried to outthink yourself.
I did. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say Bird first, but I was like,
Boo Edwards.
All right, Alex. Who's the leading scorer in Miami Heat playoff history?
Oh, is it Dwayne Wade?
That is correct.
Oh.
Dwayne Wade, 3,864 points. All right, Scott. What university did Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Warriors, graduate from?
That would be Arizona.
Arizona in 1988. All right, this is the last question, collaborative, both for Alex and Scott. What iconic singer-songwriter and his son was once ejected from the baseline seats during a Miami Heat game?
Is it Iglesias?
Enrique Iglesias?
No.
Oh.
I'll give another hint. I'll give another hint. He made a song that my wife and her friends always drink to about 5:30 when it's a girls' night out.
Jimmy Buffett?
Is it Jimmy Buffett?
That's exactly right. Margaret Vanderbilt. That's when.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's exactly right.
So wait, is it Jimmy Buffett and Jimmy Buffett Jr.? James Buffett the second?
No,
Jimmy
and Jerry. Son Cameron. That's when referee Joe Forty kicked out Jimmy Buffett on the baseline and his son for using excessive bad words versus the Knicks on February 4th, 2001. And then all the parrot heads on the baseline there were screaming at Joe Forty, how could you kick out Jimmy Buffett?
He's the most chill guy in the world.
He's well, what we do know is he was definitely wearing flip-flops. I mean, if he was kicked out of a Heat game, he's probably wearing flip-flops.
Correct.
Tommy Bahama shirt.
Nibbling on sponge cake. All right. Coach, we appreciate the quiz. We were near perfect there until the very end, but we ended up – Scott brought us back around and got us to Jimmy Buffett. There's Coach, your signature quiz always makes us happy. We appreciate it. Coach Gordy Chiesa, thanks for joining us,
Coach. Thanks, guys. Peace out.
All right, there you go. 97.5, 1280. The Zone. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the Zone Sports
Center. Why do I like that?
I don't know.
I look I look forward to it every week.
I know.
I just really enjoy those quizzes.
You give me these looks when I get some of these too.
No, it's just like.
But
Virginia
like I had the. I was like, ugh. I was like,
how do you know Dale Curry, Virginia Tech?
Dale Curry. I don't know. I remember weird stuff, but then like at the same time, I'm like I spaced Steve Kerr. So you got that question?
Oh, you didn't know that,
right?
Steve
and then
Kerr?
I go, oh, duh. Oh, hello, yeah. Played for Lute Olson. I mean, yeah. Like it's an insane thing sometimes when your brain kind of goes. But if it's going to be a state capital. We got it.
We know
we
those.
We figured those things out long
we
ago.
We know.
We'll take the break here. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We'll return with our Weekend Warriors next. Stay right here with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.